If you haven't filed your taxes for 2016 yet, you have several hours ahead of you because of the weekend and a holiday in some parts of the country. Our tax returns are due on April 18th today instead of the 15th for a change. That might have been a little hard to track, but hard to track is a pretty regular thing with our tax system. It's got lots of twists and tangles, especially when compared with the tax system in other countries. T.R. Reid points this out in his book, A Fine Mess, A Global Quest for a Simpler, Fairer, and More Efficient Tax System. T.R. Reid is a journalist with a long and impressive career, putting in many years at the Washington Post. He's also known to NPR audiences for his commentaries and has reported for several PBS documentaries. He has 8 other books to his credit. T.R. Reid, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be on your air, Jeff. Thanks.
As you point out, there's a bit of a pattern in complexity and simplification in the American tax code. Are we due for a change?
Yes, I think history repeats itself. So our federal income tax started in 1913, and of course we kind of hate it today, but at that time it was very popular because initially it only taxed the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts. But gradually it expanded, and Congress passed a comprehensive tax code in 1922. The lobbyists came in and added exemptions and credits and loopholes for their particular customers. And by 1954, it was just a complicated mess. So Congress threw it out and started over. Guess what? Over the next 30 years, they added all these loopholes and exemptions. And in 1986, again, we threw it out and started over with a clean code with lower rates. The pattern there is every 32 years we have to do this. The 32 years is up in 2018, so the time has come. Our tax code is a monster. And really, the only thing we can do at this point, and many countries have done it, as I say in my book, throw it out, throw out all those exemptions and giveaways, and start over with lower rates.
Well, you know, though, I think the thing that may surprise people more than anything else in the book is finding out in the early pages there's an anti-complexity clause in the tax code.
Yeah, Congress passed a law saying that the Treasury Department has to make our tax system simpler, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Anti-Complexity Clause. And, Jeff, if you want to look it up, it's Section 7803C2B29 of the Internal Revenue Code. That's what they call anti-complexity.
7803C2B29, yeah. So why does the code clogged up, T.R. Reid? What happens in there that makes things continue to get added in terms of exemptions and everything else?
Every year, the lobbyists come in and push Congress, and they make contributions and get a return on it. They push Congress for a particular depreciation allowance or credit or exemption for their client. Congress changes the tax law about 425 times every year, and all those are kind of obscure provisions that help one or two taxpayers. And the result is the thing gets incredibly complicated. And that's why just paying taxes is much more work and much more expensive in America than any other place.
Well, it sounds like unless we change the construction of the tax code itself, the same thing will continue to happen, which explains the 32-year cycles in recent terms.
Yes, that's right. And I think I argue in my book that now is the time to fix it because the 32 years is up in 2018. Nobody defends our current system. Everybody wants to change it. The president has promised major tax reform. Our tax code is 73,000 pages long, and I asked the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, has anybody at the IRS read it? No, he laughed at it. Of course, nobody could. The thing is, you could make it much simpler and therefore get rid of all those exemptions. Then you could lower the rate sharply so people pay lower rate and get the same revenue, and it would be much simpler to file. So these changes would be good for just about everybody. You lose some deduction that you really like, but in return you get a simpler return and lower rates, and that political trade-off has worked in many countries.
Well, the simplicity and preparation certainly appeals to a lot of people. I hadn't even thought of there not being places like H&R Block elsewhere in the world. Are we largely the exception?
Yes. You can walk down the street in London, Lima, Amsterdam, Tokyo, and there's no H&R Block. They don't need that service. Americans, an average American family at the median income, about $56,000, according to the IRS, spends about 13 hours gathering the data and filling the forms. We spend $10 billion for tax preparation services, $2 billion for tax software. Guess what? In other countries, it takes 15 minutes and costs nothing to pay your taxes.
15 minutes?
Yeah. I was in the Netherlands on March 31st last year. Their tax day is April 1st. I was with an executive that makes about $200,000 a year. And I said to him, Michael, how do you pay your taxes? He said, well, you know, it's due tomorrow. So he pops a beer, he goes online, and the Internal Revenue Service there has filled in every line of his return because they know all the numbers. So his job is to check and see if the numbers are right. If they look good, he clicks OK. It takes about 5 minutes. But he says to me, he says, you know, I don't really trust government, so I try to check those numbers on my return. And now he's getting mad. He says, you know, you start checking the numbers, it can take almost half an hour just to pay your taxes. He was outraged.
Outraged to be taking half an hour. T.R. Reid is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is called A Fine Mess, A Global Quest for a Simpler, Fairer, and More Efficient Tax System. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. You might have a few thoughts about taxes and complexity in the system. Share those at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let me apologize in advance to our listeners. There's one of the six phone lines that actually doesn't set up a flashing light. So if you get missed occasionally, that is why, because you're calling on line five. You didn't mean to. It just happens. TR, what are some of the assumptions contained in our tax code that other countries simply do not have? I mean, things that they don't allow to be deducted or adjusted for.
We give away so many credits and allowances. In the United States, we give you a tax break for paying your mortgage, for insulating the attic, for planting sugarcane, for destroying old farm equipment, for replanting a forest, for employing Native Americans, for commuting to work by bicycle, but only certain bicycles. Here's one I really like. We have a provision in there where we give you a $7,500 tax credit if you buy a $138,000 BMW hybrid. Now, can you imagine giving a tax subsidy to rich people who buy a German car? We'd never do that. But we did. It's in the tax code. And other countries have moved in the opposite direction. They take away those credits and deductions and loopholes. And that gets you two things. It gets the system much simpler, and you can then get the same revenue with much lower rates. And when the rates are lower, there's better compliance. People are more willing to pay at a low rate. If the rate's really high, then they think you're getting ripped off by government, and they look for ways to evade the tax.
Let's take a call. We have Durrell in Central Point, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with T.R. Reid.
Hi. I was in law school in the 80s and was taking personal income tax, and my law professor made two comments that I've never forgotten. He said, you know, they have to make the tax code complicated, otherwise we can't justify charging $150 an hour. Realize this is in the 80s. And then the other comment he made was, they have to keep changing the tax code, otherwise any hack on the street could do their own taxes. So.
All right. Thanks for the perspective.
A little cynical, but it's true. And we don't need it to be that way. I mean, as I say, in most other countries, the IRS fills in the form for you. So we could do that, too. And when that's proposed in our Congress, H&R Block lobbies against it because they want the work. So here's the trade-off. We do more work. They make more money. I don't think that's a fair system.
But she brings up a great point. It's not just H&R Block. It's Intuit, which makes the TurboTax software. It's tax lawyers. A lot of people have a lot of money invested in the system being complicated.
Yeah, there are big winners in the complicated system. But to me, that's not a justification for not fixing it. I mean, some of those people would lose their job and they'd have to go on to do some other line of work. Well, this happens in vibrant societies. You know, we used to employ a lot of people building typewriters in America. Nobody makes typewriters here anymore. It used to be that, that Medford and other cities employed squadrons of people to sweep up the manure behind the horses pulling carriages. That business is gone, and those people have moved on to something more productive. Same thing would happen if we simplified taxes. Yes, we wouldn't have a tax preparation industry, but you don't need it. They could work on curing cancer. They could build buildings.
So there are things that we have, lots of deductions and complexity that other countries don't have. What are some of the trends in tax law worldwide that other countries are doing that we don't have?
Well, some countries, Italy has more deductions than we do. They give you a deduction for paying your kids' rent at college. But most countries have moved the other direction. They've simplified the code by broadening the tax base, by getting rid of exemptions and credits, and then lower the rates. That's the formula that's worked around the world. And then the other thing is the IRS fills in the form for you, which, as I say, could happen in the United States. So simplification, getting rid of exemptions and deductions and loopholes, and they're lowering rates, that has been the trend around the world. And as I say, we've done it in the United States three times, but we haven't done it now for three decades, so the time has come.
What other kinds of taxes, though? I mean, don't some of the European countries have value-added taxes that we don't have?
Yes, the value-added tax is a very common tax around the world now. It was invented in France in the 50s. A value-added tax is a sales tax that applies at every level of commerce, wholesale or retail. Economists like it because it doesn't tax labor, it doesn't tax savings, it taxes consumption. Governments like it because it's a very hard tax to evade. It's hard to duck out. People have to pay that tax. And generally, taxpayers like it because you use the revenue from the value-added tax to lower the income tax on people and corporations. So 176 countries have this. Every advanced country has it except the United States. And Eric Zoldis, a professor at UCLA Law School, he said to me, you know, that value-added tax is such a good idea, even the U.S. Congress will figure it out. He says, mark my words, within 5 years, the U.S. will have a value-added tax. And then he says, of course, I've been saying that for 20 years.
Well, do we avoid the VAT because we hate sales taxes? I mean, most states have them. Oregon doesn't, obviously.
Yeah, 46 states have a sales tax. And some people say, well, that would make it hard if we had to put a federal sales tax or a federal value-added tax on top of that. It turns out that's not an obstacle. Many countries, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, have added a federal value-added tax or just combined it with the state sales tax. The way they do it in Canada is the federal government collects all the sales tax and then distributes it to the provinces. That's just a simpler way. And, it's a new tax, but you use it to reduce the rate of the income tax or other taxes. And so you come out even, and you have a tax that people really can't duck.
T.R. Reid is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on this tax day. His book is A Fine Mess, A Global Quest for a Simpler, Fairer, and More Efficient Tax System. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. You know, I'm a tax auditor, and even I don't like me today.
You'll feel better tomorrow.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mr. Reid, you're preaching to the choir. The complexity of the system is essentially based upon whoever has juice. The tax laws themselves are fairly simple as a general rule. But whoever has juice manages to get an exclusion and creates an incredibly complex system. I would propose eliminating the corporate income tax altogether and either replace it with VAT or simply tax the dividends at a higher rate for the various shareholders of the corporations. The substantial amount of complexity that is created to keep give large corporations substantial tax breaks. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, and I'll take my answer off the air. Right. Happy tax day, guys.
Happy tax day, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. you know, that's a really good idea, and several countries have done that. So we currently have a very high rate of corporate income tax, 35%. France is higher because France is higher in all taxes. But most countries have a lower rate. It's very complicated. Corporations spend tens of millions of dollars avoiding that tax. And many people suggested just get rid of the corporate income tax. Then corporations would pass that money on to their investors through dividends, and you can tax the dividend. Or you could have a value-added tax to get revenue from them. To me, that's a pretty good idea. It's politically difficult because we would still have to have a personal income tax, and then you have to explain to people why you're taking away the tax on big, fat corporations. But it's a sensible proposal. I reported in my book, and several countries, let's see, New Zealand, Austria, Bermuda have done that. And it works fine. So I think that's a good system. Eliminates complexity. We still would raise the revenue by taxing dividends. That might be a good way to go. Politically, it's tough because people get mad if you give a perceived break to big, fat corporations.
Well, you mentioned the rate at 35%, though. That's the official rate. What's the effective rate once they've taken their dodges and spent some millions to look for loopholes?
No, that's a good point, Jeff. Any company that actually paid 35% in tax would fire its chief financial officer the next morning. Nobody does. But the effective rate still is high in America. It's, for most companies, it's in the range of 25 or 26% what they actually pay. And that's higher than the rate that their corporate competitors overseas are paying. So I think there's a very good argument for reducing the corporate income tax and or eliminating it. And the way you could pay for this is you get rid of these hundreds and hundreds of exemptions and credits that are in the tax code, and then you're taxing on a higher base, and you could sharply lower the rate. If the rate were 15 or 20%, then a corporation, it's not in their interest to pay some consultant $60 million to design a way for them to move their profits overseas.
Ah, because they wouldn't make as much money back with the tax rates low as they would with the $60 million they're talking about spending to look for loopholes. We are talking to T.R. Reid.
Yeah.
His book is A Fine Mess, A Global Quest for a Simpler, Fairer, and More Efficient Tax System. Here's a call from Charlie and Eugene. Welcome to The Exchange.
Yes, hi. Hi there.
Hi.
I have a couple. As a small business person, I have to usually write out a check at the end of the tax season today, mm-hmm. and stuff. So yeah. I have a couple of real good suggestions, I think, for reforming the entire system. Very simple. One, no more withholding, okay, for people's paychecks. Everybody's got to write out the check to see just how much money they're having to spend. Secondly, election day is the day after. That people get to decide who's been serving them and representing them and who hasn't been. So those are my two big suggestions. And I might mention also a strange deduction I came across once in perusing the tax code. They refer to it as the Moby Dick credit deduction. And it was so specifically written that it could only have applied to a specific captain on a specific boat fishing in the Gulf of Alaska during a certain period. It was incredible, and I've always referred to it, as I said, as the Moby Dick exemption. So, anyway, those are my suggestions.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate those. So no withholding, and have the election right after tax day. The Moby Dick exemption is the part I want to concentrate on, though, because how specific are some of these exemptions? They apply to one corporation or one corporation in one situation?
Yeah, there are hundreds of them in there that are called rifle shot provisions. They apply to one corporation or sometimes five corporations. And, you know, they always say, well, this is important. This is a valuable idea. If it were such a good idea, they'd put their name on it. But as a matter of fact, they hide them. They say, well, here's a tax break for any corporation that was incorporated in the state of Delaware on October 13th, 1916. Well, that would be General Motors. But they don't say that in there. If it was such a good idea, you think they'd put that in there. There are hundreds of them in the code. And if we got rid of them, then you could sharply reduce revenues and bring in the same amount of income. I don't agree with the caller on getting rid of withholding. Withholding is important. It's a much simpler way to pay. And if you didn't have withholding, some people would not be able to come up with the check. So I think that's a good way. It also evens out the flow of revenue over the year. having the election the day after tax day is a brilliant idea. I love that idea. And we ought to do that. And then somebody could run on a platform of, I'm going to make this a little simpler for you, and they'd win.
So let us talk. We haven't talked about individual rates yet, and there's so much kicking and screaming in America about how much we have to pay in taxes as individuals, but it's pretty low compared to the rest of the world, isn't it?
Yes. Our president, Donald Trump, says America is the highest tax country in the world. This turns out to be an alternative fact, Jeff. The standard measure of tax burden is called overall tax burden. The World Bank computes this. So you add up all the federal, state, and local tax in the country, and the total of that as a percentage of GDP, of total wealth. By that standard measure, the U.S. is a low-tax country. Of the 35 richest countries, we rate 32nd in total tax burden. We pay less in income tax, Social Security tax, sales tax, cigarette tax, gas tax, than most other countries. I don't know if that helps. Today, people have to pay their taxes. Does it help you to know that it could be worse? You could be paying much more if you lived in Western Europe. And the exceptions are, as the President Trump has said, the corporate income tax rate is higher in America. And another one where we pay more than most other countries, we pay higher rates anyway, is the estate tax. That's the tax that the rich kid pays when he inherits money. I like that tax myself because by definition, it didn't work for that money. You only, if you lucked out and had a rich uncle leave you $15 million, you pay tax on it. But many countries have gotten rid of the estate tax on the grounds that enough is enough. You know, I paid taxes for 65 years. Don't tax me when I'm dead. In Canada, they had a very good slogan to get rid of the estate tax. It was, no taxation without respiration.
Lots of jokes
don't
around
like
tax.
That?
Yeah, that's great. The book is called The Fine Mess, A Global Quest for a Simpler, Fairer, and More Efficient Tax System. We'll see if Congress goes along with BBLR, Broader Base and Lower Rates, and we'll just see. T.R. Reid, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Great to be on your show, Jeff. Thanks.